Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
Each week, we'll be discussing the stories we're working on and which you can read more about in the City Press. This week in City Press, we actually run an extract of a wonderful book called You're Not Broke, You're Pre-Rich. And Mapalo, this is your book that's finally come out. And I have to say, I've read it. I really enjoyed it. And I think the title is absolutely spot on. I mean, is that the message you really wanted to get across? This is not doom and gloom, guys. This is the start.
Yes, my, I'm so excited. My book is finally out. And it's called You're Not Broke, You're Pre-Rich. And really, that sort of slogan, that saying, is something that I've always said to my friends. And if anyone knows who is a freelancer, entrepreneur, you know that there are broke months. And I've always said to my friends, you know what? I'm not broke. I'm pre-rich. So really, that's where the title came from. And I thought, you know what? It's befitting because so many people are struggling financially. But I wanted to show people in the book, through the book, that you know what, you really can get your finances together. You just have to put your head down and just do a few right things.
And I think, you know, one of the key right things is we all have, you know what, even the richest people in the world, they still have a limit to the amount of money they have, right? There's only so much money you have, and it's about making sure that money does what you wanted to do. And you know, especially around things like, what are we spending our money on? And you talk about that lifestyle creep. And you know, I think part of this is this lifestyle creep where we start spending a little bit more and more. It's a little bit like food, Mapalo. This last week, I've been stress eating. And it's that little bit extra, little bit extra, little bit extra. And it's the same with lifestyle creep, where we just start spending just a little bit more. We let it slip. And the impact that has on it. And also, you write about just keeping up with the Kamalos. You know, it used to be the Joneses, the Kamalos. Just like, and how do you find, I mean, you coach people, how do you find those, how do you help people overcome that psychology of just spending on stuff because you're feeling down, or, you know, you want to cheer yourself up?
My it's such a reality, especially for young people around my age, right? That you come out of varsity, you have a badly paying job. And the more you move into your career, the more money you make. So what was once a luxury now becomes a necessity, right? So I know some friends who have a gym membership, a nationwide membership, and I'm like, you don't even travel that much.
Yeah.
You know, like those small things that it just makes you feel good that, you know, oh no, I have nationwide membership. So if I'm in Cape Town, I can go there. And I mean, half the time, people don't even go to the gym. So it's just this lifestyle choices that we make that really, really just put so much pressure on our money. And we look back and we think to ourselves, goodness, how did I get here? But like you're saying, it's those small, small decisions that you make without really being conscious. And also, this is what I found, Maya, in my coaching sessions, that a lot of the times people are not intentional about their spending. You know, it's sort of like on a whim. Oh no, you know, I need this. Oh no, I'll go for that. Then bit by bit, you've just put a big hole into your budget.
And it's one of those things. It was quite interesting because also in this week I wrote about credit. The credit numbers have come out, and it's actually it's terrifying to see how much the credit records have deteriorated. So people in good standing have dropped by about 700,000 people. So there's even less people out there with decent credit records. And one of the things that I picked up talking about that unintentional spending is of the biggest number of accounts, the type of accounts. So you get mortgages, you've got car finance. The biggest one is credit facilities. And credit facilities are credit cards, store cards, 26 million of those. There's only 25 million active South Africans, but there's 26 million credit facilities out there. And that it's that in unintentional spending that, oh, I'll just swipe my credit card and then I'll just pay the minimum. And store cards, people never ever pay off their store cards. They pay in that, so they've spent a couple of thousand on the store card, but they only have to pay in 300 every month. And they pay in the 300, they go spend another 1,000. And it's this perpetual debt that we get into that I think is feeding into these numbers. And I think that's very, very similar to what you're saying, is that unintentional spending, or just not having awareness.
No, not at all, Maya. And, you know, even just one of the things that I do talk about is keeping up with the Kumalos, and mentioned it, is that I've seen it, and I see it so many times, especially in my culture or in the communities that I come from, that success or the car that you drive is a reflection of that you are successful. So people go and buy those expensive cars that they have no business buying at all, just so that, you know, they can look like they are a success to their peers.
And how do we break that, though? I was thinking about exactly this yesterday, right? And I was thinking, I don't know how you change that, though, because people do feel good when they're driving in a good car. That's how they feel. They feel like, you know, if I drive up in a skedonk, clapped out car, it doesn't make me feel good. If I drive up in the BMW, I feel good. So how do you convince your people you're coaching that maybe that BMW is making you feel good, but it's not making you feel good because you don't have money for other stuff?
Yeah, it's a very, very tricky one, Maya. I mean, I travel around in an old Chevy that it doesn't make me feel necessarily fantastic. I do have a car. I really do, Maya. And, you know, I've been looking at my budget. I'm like, yeah, you know, I could make something happen here. But obviously, I teach these things and I know just the importance of compound interest and blah, blah, blah. So for me, I always say, look at your priorities. What is it that you want to achieve? And it's a bit hard. So I always take people through that. You know what? What will your life look like in the next 5 years? What will your life look like in the next 3 years?
Yeah.
You still want to be complaining about, oh goodness, credit card, overdraft. You know, I just always try to make them see the bigger picture about, you know, financial freedom and financial security, what it actually does for you. So in the book, Maya, I actually interviewed a psychologist, right? And Dr. Atta says that people operate from two points of view, right? One from an internal locus of control and one external locus of control. Internal locus of control says, you know what? I am Mapalo. I know who I am. I know my place in this big, wide universe. And I am happy with who I am outside of the material stuff that I do possess.
Okay? Yeah.
Then external locus of control says, I need to rock up in a BM to feel good. I need to live in a certain suburb for my family to respect me. I need to look a certain way and talk a certain way and be seen eating at certain places for me to feel good about myself, for my peers to respect me, and for me to feel like I can be loved or I am lovable. So I think also I just always try to bring people aware to the fact that, you know, where you are currently, do you think you're operating from an internal locus of control or are you operating from an external locus of control? And actually, where do you want to operate from?
And I think it's, it's very important because you hand control over if you do it externally. So exactly, you know, we spoke last week about retrenchment and, you know, you don't control those external things. So if that's what you're relying on for your self-worth, you are really handing control over to someone else, to events beyond your control. Whereas if you feel internally good about yourself, then, you know, but you know what, that's also, I think that's a journey of life. I don't think it's easy to be in that space. I think we all fall for it in one way or the other. The way we look, whether we've put on a kilogram or not, whether we've done our hair, our nails, let's be honest, there is something we present to the world about the way we want to look. So sometimes it is a little bit about, you know, just about reflecting and taking that time to understand who you are and like, what is realistic? Is it about, you know, is there a car I could drive that's not going to put the strain on my salary, but still make me feel okay? Maybe there's something in between there.
And also for me, Maya, it's like, what are the trade-offs? For me, I love traveling, which I haven't really done this year. Things have just been hectic. The trade-off is, okay, I put money away instead of driving around in a car that will perhaps make me feel a bit better, but I love my holidays. I love a little weekend getaway. So what are you willing to trade off? I mean, you can't have all of these things on at one time. So what are some of the trade-offs you're willing to do with your finances to make sure that, you know, you still save, you still have something for your future, but you can still enjoy your money a little bit, right? So make those decisions. But going on holiday on credit, buying the Beamer, all of these things, that will really just leave you feeling quite exhausted.
And it was interesting, your point. Sorry, I must just make a note. I think Maple has been doing far too many book launches. Her voice is now, her voice is going. But I think there's something you said very interesting for me in that statement. You said, we can't have everything. And we all think we want everything, but actually we get a huge amount of satisfaction out of achieving goals. And we forget that part of it. So actually, if you set yourself a goal and the goal is to, you know, save a certain amount by a certain date, to go on that holiday that you were planned for and have it fully paid for, not on your credit card, those will give you high, high levels of satisfaction. In fact, when you don't have those goals and you don't have anything to work towards, it can often lead to depression. You know, we often come across people who are multi-millionaires. Funny enough, I actually did come across somebody who made a lot of money in Bitcoin, and he said he's lost all purpose. He doesn't know why he gets up in the morning anymore. And we forget that. We forget that part of our psyche that actually needs to be fed. And maybe make your money that part of your psyche, saying, you know what, I'm going to set goals. I'm going to achieve these goals. And they're going to make me feel better. It's not about being so rich I don't have to think about it. Because actually reaching that point is perhaps not as healthy for us as we think it is.
Yeah. But Mike, for me, what was also interesting in the article, I mean, the numbers are shocking.
The credit numbers.
So you said there's 11.3 million credit applications and 55% were turned down.
55% were turned down, which actually, and then, you know, I've spoken to the banks and all of that, and they're saying, well, it's two things. It's affordability. So people just can't afford the loans. But so obviously, if you think about it, if you're applying for a loan you can't afford, it generally means you're in big trouble because you're trying to borrow because you just can't make ends. And that's credit records. They said the credit records, you know, the quality of credit records is declining as well, which is all the same thing. And, you know, as I said, what is concerning to me is how much of this is revolving credit, and people are just are really, really getting trapped in that. So I think it's a major issue. And you know, the other article that we did this week, well, actually we got it from Stealthy Wealth. He's one of the personal finance bloggers, because I think this is kind of, it juxtaposes, we're talking about credit, we're talking about living and getting caught in that lifestyle. But what if you don't get caught in the lifestyle? What if you actually start putting money away? And he worked out how quickly you could become a millionaire.
What I loved about this article, it really just opens your eyes to realize that to become a millionaire, you don't have to do major, major things, right? You don't have to wake up and go and conquer the world, basically. You really can start off with any amount, and if you're consistent, you can become a millionaire. It's not such a big thing.
No, it was so interesting for me. He took 200 rand a month, getting 10% return per annum. And I mean, 10%, yes, everyone says, oh, where do you get 10%? Well, actually, over the long term, the JSE performs about 12% per annum. You know, we've gone through a bad dip. But say, for example, you're getting a 10% per annum return. Within a normal working career, you could have saved a million rand. Now, that's on 200 rand a month. So it's not like it's exactly that point. And I think that's also this kind of, and I think it's the point you really make in your book, you know, you're pre-rich. And sometimes it's just about saying, you know what, I'm just going to commit 200, 300 bucks, whatever it is. Because the minute you've hit that first milestone, and suddenly when you get a little bit of extra money, you can keep adding it and keep growing it. And I think that, I mean, I think some of the stuff he did as well, it's like, if you kind of have, if you're able to put away, I'm just having a quick look at his numbers, if you're putting away 5,000 rand a month, you'll be a millionaire in 10 years. So you know, you can, you know, and you just think how much, just stop for a moment, people, and think how much you're spending on your car, by the way, how much is going to repayments, insurance, petrol, and 5,000 is easy to find, actually.
Yes. And you know what, Maya, I always find, when I talk to, like, in a group of women, like now even at the book launch, this lady, I said, okay, 2,500 or $2,750, the maximum limit into a tax-free savings account.
Yeah.
People say, oh, no, how do you buy into this money? And, you know, I started saying, I did an exercise with them. I said, how much do you spend on your car? How much do you spend on going out? How much, you know, all of these things. I said, no, it's only really because it has not been a priority for you. And sometimes when you use language like that, people get upset. But sometimes I'm like, come on, can we just tell the truth.
yeah, exactly. And also I actually did this, I've just done some maths because I also just started looking at my own budget and I found about 400 Rand a month that I was spending on stuff that exactly, remember you spoke about that gym memberships. There was a couple of things that I thought, I never use this. What am I doing it for? 400 Rand a month. And I actually just wanted to quickly have a look here. Okay, so he's gotten 500 Rand a month. But basically, if I just put that 500 Rand away a month, you know, in 30 years, you know, there's $1 million. Okay. So maybe it's 30 years, but it's still 500 Rand. That's a far better way for me to do with something that actually right now is complete and utter waste of money. Yes. And it's in all of our budgets. We can find that.
Yeah. Absolutely. But now Maya, there's inflation, right? I know $1 million seems like a lot of money, but bring inflation in it. What is inflation, first of all?
Yeah, so that was, I think it's also a very important point that is made in this article, is that those numbers are not that's including inflation. So as you know, if I buy something this year that costs 100 Rand, next year is going to cost me 110 Rand. So really my money needs to be keeping up with my purchasing power. So I must be able to buy the same thing for, you know, how much money do I need to buy the same thing today as in the future? So what he did is he actually stripped out inflation, and the inflation at the moment is running 4%, 4 to 5%. And so he went and looked at this from real returns. So if I wanted to be a millionaire in today's value, how much would I need to be putting away? So I think that is probably a good adjustment. And, you know, even then though, so if I take, say, maybe 2000, if I took 2000 Rand a month, in 20 years' time, I would, and that's again, assuming this sort of moderate return of 10%, in 20 years' time, I would have R1 million in today's value. So I would be a today's millionaire in 20 years' time for that 2,000 Rand. So I think it is important. The article does look at that as well. What is it I have to save to have R1 million in what I consider R1 million to be in terms of what I can do with it today?
And now, Maya, I know this is a tricky question, but I think a lot of the times, the one question that people keep on asking, okay, we hear about all of these things. This is how much I should put away, but where do I put my money? Where do I put this money?
I have to tell you, it's so interesting because, so Stealthy Wealth, the guy who did the article for us for In City Press, he wrote an article. He interviewed me, interviewed a lot of sort of financial.
Everyone has different answers.
Absolutely. So he asked all of them, where do you put your tax-free savings account money? Right? Do you know there wasn't one commonality? Not one. I don't think anybody.
I saw that.
And to me, what that said is that we obsess about where should we put this money and we don't do anything about it because actually it makes no difference. I mean, because in hindsight, of course, we'd all love to know in hindsight which was the best performing fund and I should have put my money here. I mean, I saw one of them. Yeah, I think Warren Ingram went and put it in property and he's like burning terribly. And people who went and put it in offshore obviously had done better because the Rand has been weaker. The US markets have performed better. I just put mine I just track the divvy, the dividend index here in South Africa. Everybody had, and these are all supposedly the experts. And and I think to me, it just proved everything. What it said is, and I think this is a bottom line, go put your first 2,750 Rand a month into a tax-free savings account. Make sure you're not paying tax or growing tax liability. And then put it into something balanced. Make sure you're in something that has some offshore, some property, some equity, some cash. They're called balanced funds. Just go do that. You know, that's it. And forget about it. Just leave it because no one is going in over the next 5 years, no one knows what's going to happen in the markets and that. But what you do know is at least if you're diversified, if you have a well-rounded investment portfolio, you know, you don't have to be worrying about it. You don't have to be trying to second guess the market. So I think that's what I took from that article. I just thought, you see, guys, it's not about trying to guess the next best fund. It's actually just about putting the money away.
You can't. And really for me, it's exactly what you're saying, Maya. Just start. And I know I say it all the time and it seems like such a simple thing. Just start.
Okay. And you know how you can just start? By buying this book. You're not broke. You're pretty rich. It motivates you. It gives you some great just practical tips like how to do an RA, how to manage your credit card, all those practical things. And it gives you the motivation and the great interviews that you've done with your clients and with some savers out there and investors and psychologists. So, and Mapla, where do you get the book?
You get the book from Exclusive Books, only for $230. That's the only investment. And also I think other good bookstores nationwide as well.
And can they drop you an email if they're looking for it as well?
Absolutely.
You got your handle is at Woman in Finance. So I think if you just even just find your handle, you can drop
my Twitter, Woman in Finance, and on Instagram, Mapalo Maku, both very active there. And I always respond.
You do. You're fantastic. So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959, and we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring contributors of the City Press Personal Finance Pages.